I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
I'm
just sad.
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Yo, Gloom listeners, it's The Plague, and today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, aka Michael Pfluger at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3. And see how Michael can guide your financial journey today.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. This is an exciting guy. I got to see this guy this morning. We were at a VQ at the Maze. Been a phenomenal leader to just get to know and watch start a new site actually for us in Gretna, a new weights site at the quarry. And I've got our man Vlasic on today. And if you would just tell us kind of how you got introduced to F3, who EH'd you, and then would love to know how you got the name Vlasic. I don't know if you're a fan of pickles or what that is all about, but tell us all about that.
Sure. So I was introduced to F3 through Lincoln Lobb, who is a friend of mine, and we have done ministry together through church ministry and other through the Gideons and different various organizations. And so he got me out to attend the Dragon's Lair a few years ago, and we had a great opportunity to connect with an organization that really has radically affected my life in regard to my health and well-being. So Vlasic comes from just simple fact, I like to play pickleball.
Oh, okay. So
that name kind of stuck. And so, yeah.
Nice. I like it. What was your first impression of the group when you came out to F3? What were you like, what did Lincoln Logs get me into?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, his first workout he invited me to, he was leading and it was a coupon workout and it was pretty challenging workout. And so I was a little worried if every workout was going to be this way. And then I realized that not quite. He had something to prove that day, I think. And so as he invited me out, I appreciated what really attracted me was the brotherhood, the idea of these men are coming together. And at the end of that workout, that COT and that time of connection point where we kind of reached arms around each other and prayed, is something I think every man is truly longing for. You know, once I experienced that, I was kind of hooked. You know, after years and years of the workout equipment in my basement being the place where I threw my and stored my jackets and things and my memberships at the gym, my wife was calling my favorite charities. Finally, I had found a community that could hold me accountable and begin to achieve some of the goals I had for my life.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I know a lot of us have been there, right? We used to have this treadmill in our old basement. And I remember I don't know if we ever used that thing. It was just sort of it becomes a coat rack, right? They're really good coat racks. Well, and I would say Lincoln Logs is known to put on a pretty hard beat down. So no surprise there that he, you know, let a coupon work out. What, as you sort of came into the group, you know, just thinking about, you know, from a fitness standpoint and kind of just getting into it. So you started at Dragon's Lair. Were you able to go the next Monday or what was your kind of progression?
Sure. My original plan was I pretty much committed to 2 days a week from the get-go.
Okay.
And I was playing pickleball 3 days a week. And then eventually that swapped. I was playing pickleball 2 days a week and began to work out 3 days a week. And then it eventually came to where I was working out 5 times a week, which was great. And I was visiting these other sites and had a great opportunity to meet you know, obviously when you wander and go to different sites, you meet some different amazing individuals. And that's the one thing I love about F3 is there's a commonality among, you know, there's a culture that certainly exists there, but that culture is put in the context of some pretty amazing individuality and some amazing guys. And when you meet them, it just opens up a whole new aspect of why I value F3. And it's really just the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talk about like the first F being sort of like the magnet that gets guys in. But once you get into it, you kind of realize like, oh, there's these other things that I probably need. I maybe need even more importantly than the fitness piece. But would you be willing to unpack for us just kind of looking at your fitness journey? Sort of what does that look like for a guy that's trying to stay healthy, maintain some sort of, you know, physical health, physical fitness? I don't know. I would just be curious to hear, like, you know, what was that journey like for you? And then how'd you get into pickleball? And then maybe how has F3 kind of helped to supplement in terms of like, are you reaching your fitness goals, or do you feel like you're maintaining good physical health?
Sure. As I said earlier, I mean, I just really had no consistency to my fitness goals because I had no accountability. And I think that's what F3 brings to the table. It is that brotherhood. It's the call that you get, the text that I get. It's the fact that Lincoln and Log and I would ride to the sites together. And even knowing that he's going to be out there to pick him up, or I have to be there to pick him up, is thing that, you know, is, it's a great accountability. I think beyond the physical aspect, you know, the physical challenges of facing those things that you never thought you could do and then accomplishing them affects so many other aspects. So the physical well-being that I have found, and I'm obviously still not there. There's a lot more work I need to do on myself, but the process of crossing those barriers and achieving those goals just gives you strength to then take maybe another step and become, you know, that reach that next goal or achieve that next thing in your life. And so, you know, the concept of, you know, the fitness concept of leaving no man behind to me is powerful, because there's certainly a lot of things when I first started I couldn't do. And in those moments, I was never alone. It's not just something we say, but it's something that I've experienced. And it's a powerful thing, because the one thing that we all fear is to one day to be alone. And it's meeting a very basic, and I would say not only basic, but universal fear that we all have, that one day we'll be alone. Well, if you're in the brotherhood of F3, you're never alone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned something there. Would be curious if you would go a little bit deeper, but the confidence piece, like, you know, talk to me about that. How does having somebody come next, you know, side by side, and then you accomplish something, and then that confidence just builds? What's that been like for you?
It's interesting, because it has affected every aspect of my life, even my career as a pastor. We often talk about what is the secret sauce or the mojo of F3. And I think that's it. I think it's the brotherhood. I think there's a relational connection there that is built in, where, you know, you think about the core fundamentals, right? It's open to all men. So there's an inclusiveness there. Doesn't matter where you're coming from or what you're doing, there's value in you, and we see that, and we want to bring out the best in that. And so as I began to experience that, I began to realize how it was affecting the way I was pastoring. You know, it's interesting, because Wednesday nights we have a men's kind of Bible study at church, and I kind of took the lead in a rotating fashion. And I went to our guys and said, guys, hey, we're just all going to take a turn, and we're going to work our way through the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to prepare, or if you're struggling with, you know, what to do, I'll come alongside you and we'll work out a lesson together. And it was great to see that F3 had impacted me in such a way that, you know, that lead in a rotating fashion, leave no man behind mentality affected the way I did my job at church. And I think that's, you know, when you get back to, because, you know, we talk about the concentric and how what we do at F3 affects not only our family life, but our work life. It's real. It's real. If you really embrace the values that F3 is putting out, it transcends the workout. It bleeds into your life, which I think is powerful.
Yeah. How'd the guys at Bible study respond? Did they do okay with the...
You know, everyone did it. Okay. It was a little surprising because there was a couple of them that, you know, don't say much ever, mm-hmm. but everyone did it. And I thought it turned out well.
Yeah. That's so cool to me. Cause from a, you know, from a faith perspective, right. I mean, I think, you know, learning how to dive into scripture is such a helpful tool, but so many of us don't take the time to learn that, or and there's maybe nobody that's been willing to offer to teach us that, right? So I think the kind of that example is a really cool way to apply like something that's basic to F3, right? Every day we do that, but it's not that way. I often Tonight Show and I work together, and we've talked about like what would lead in a rotating fashion look like in sort of more of a corporate environment. I don't know that it would quite fly, but I love that you were able to do it where you work. That's really cool. You've mentioned a couple times this idea of brotherhood, and would love to just kind of hear like what was your experience, because you showed up and you had Lincoln Logs, right? You knew, you know, Mr. Phelan, right? Was there anybody else there that you knew, or how did you go about building those relationships?
I knew Mr. Miyagi because, sure. And then I also had a relationship with Tony Ballamparty, which of course is Chicklets.
Yeah.
So those guys all knew, I knew. Beyond that, I really had no connection with anyone else in F3. But what I think is interesting is because the culture is consistently applied, and I think in particular in our area, you know, where we're going through the five fundamentals and we're going through the mission statement every week, that those aren't just words, they bleed into our life. And so I have a connection point with anyone who is, with maybe the exception of the FNG, right? I have a connection point and a commonality with everyone who shows up at that workout, even downrange in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you can go to a workout downrange somewhere and not know anyone. And yet there's a connection point. There's a brotherhood there that just comes from that common, common idea and value that we embrace at F3.
Yeah, you're so right. I think, and originally we didn't do that. We didn't say the core principles and the mission. And then I think shortly after we launched F3 Omaha, somebody added that in and it just became sort of like a no-brainer, like, why not? And now it's now, you know, when you're at a VQ like this morning, it's sort of like a test, you know, like that's really the only thing the guy has to like read, right? Sometimes, right. If they haven't.
By the way, he didn't this morning.
Yeah, he did great.
Yeah,
he did great. The guy yesterday at Beacon Valley, he had a moment where he was like, oh, I'm forgetting one of them, you know, but, and that's okay, right? We just help you out. No big deal. What, you know, as you've been experiencing just different relationships in the group, have you found any, like, what's been the most helpful strategy just to kind of get to know a guy? Is it, you know, a lot of times guys will say coffee, or maybe it's some additional discussion, or what has been your approach to that?
So at the Quarry, we went through Free to Lead.
Nice.
So for me, I think this experience has been working through that book and kind of dialoguing through, not just reading it, but actually dialoguing it in at QSource. Has been helpful because it has given me, I think, a good understanding of the foundation and the core and the beginning. You know, it's always good to know the beginning of something, because when you know the beginning of something, you kind of get a real clear vision of where it's going, because you know where it started. So probably the QSource. You know, I've been able to participate in QSource at various, whether it's Whetstone or the Quarry or even at the Village. You know, I've had a number of QSource that I've been able to attend. And mine was the first, the one we did at the Core is the first one I ever experienced going through Free to Lead. All the others have been the QSource kind of typical, you know, going through the QSource books.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. Those discussions, right? Cause you get to know guys, you get to learn a little bit more, right? How they're approaching life and some of the situations. And I think, I don't know, I it's hard to explain, right? A lot of times guys will tell me, or we hear, right, that it's like, well, I don't need the F3 sort of doctrine, right? And it's like, well, it's really just like articles that we read and then we talk about stuff, but there's no like, you're not signing that you agree with everything that was in there, right? It's just a discussion. But I would be curious, I remember I used to have this pastor that explained sort of how social interactions go when you tell people you're a pastor, right? It's sort of like they immediately like, there's maybe a shift there, but what's been your experience in F3? Do you feel like you've gotten to form some of those just like real authentic male friendships in the group?
Yeah, I think the one thing that has impressed me is when there has been a group of guys that are willing to be transparent, it's been shocking to me to realize how common our story is. You know, every one of those men are seeking affirmation, right? And because as men, that's kind of what we're drawn to. And here we have a place, a brotherhood where we can find that affirmation in a healthy way, rather than just putting 80 hours in at work, because work affirms me. And but yet who suffers from that is our families. And yet here in F3, it's the opposite. As we develop and we realize that common struggle and that common story, we then come back and we have that teaching of the Concentrica, which says, you know, put your family first. And then when we pray about those struggles at the end, boy, does it become powerful very fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I do think you're spot on that our stories are all uniquely different, but like the storyline, like there's just so many similarities, right? It's like different, but kind of the same. I think of it like from a faith perspective, right? You kind of see like, you know, Sky Q or God operating, and you just kind of, it's fun to watch, fun to get to be a part of if a guy's willing to open up and share. Ran into any challenges being a pastor and guys knowing that and not wanting to, or thinking they need to be a certain way around you? I don't know.
No, not really. I mean, I tried to do my best to give guys a pass because I just want them to be who they are, because I really want to just get to know who the guys are. And so, you know, I'm not offended by the typical banter or discussion that takes place, you know, the kind of, you know, in the typical workout. I don't feel like myself being a pastor, I don't stand on that platform, so to speak. You know, I just want to be one of the guys because, and to be quite honest with you, if I'm being real honest, one of the things I loved about F3 was I don't have to lead, because there's always a rotating leadership. And coming from a career where I'm always having to be in that glass house, always having to lead, it's nice just to listen and to follow someone else for a change. And there's so many great guys in F3 that it's never boring. It's never the same. It's always exciting. And I love that. I love the diversity of that leadership because it brings, you know, a joy. It's a joy to follow so many different guys who have so many different things to bring to the table.
When some of that, I wonder too, the anonymity of like, you know, like you said, you just always have to be on, right? And so to be like, let me just be a part of the group, be one of the brothers and not, you know, having to be from that on stage perspective, I'm sure has been beneficial, even for you and your faith walk, I'm sure. What, you know, I would be curious as you're thinking about other second F things, right? So we try to do book studies and happy hours and, you know, sort of all the things, right? Have you had a chance to participate in any of those, or has life kind of kept you busy where you haven't been able to attend?
I've done some of those things. You know, we were able to at the church here, whenever we have an opportunity to open up the church for an event or for a fundraiser for a family in need or something, we certainly have done that. We've always kind of looked at our church building as a community building. And so we don't charge for anything that takes place here. So we've been able to host a few events here at the church. You know, there is some aspect where there's some bleed over, like I don't necessarily participate in the blood drives because we do our own quarterly blood drive here at the church. And so there is some of that that does take place that I wish, you know, I could, you know, but I have to support what we're doing here first and foremost. So just to be able to connect with some of the guys outside of a workout and outside of a F3 event has been beneficial, to be able to have lunch with some of the guys and to be able to connect with them and to be able to hear a little bit about their journey, whether it's, you know, house arrest, going through everything that he's gone through and his journey, and to be able to pray with those guys outside of an F3 event has been probably one of the more rewarding things for me, just to build those connection points and those relationships.
Yeah, there's something. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because as a pastor, it can be a lonely thing, you know, and so I try not to show favoritism within the church, and I try not to, you know, you're cautious about that. But then at F3, I can just let that go. I don't have any kind of expectations, no restraint. I can just build relationships and without any fear of someone thinking it's favoritism.
Right. Do you have any guys in F3 that go to your church and maybe get to hear you preach on a Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, Lincoln Log was a member for many years. Also George Killian, which is Sergeant Pencil.
Yeah.
Comes on a weekly basis and has been involved. Rylan, who is known, I think, as, I don't remember Rylan's name. I only know him as Rylan because I'm his pastor, but his family has been here for years. So there's a few, not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I always think it's funny, like, you know, you start to see guys, you know, fist bump the pastor, you know, as they're leaving the church, and people are like, what's that all about? You know, right.
But it is interesting when I run into the guys at the grocery store or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm trying to introduce my wife to, you know, here's, you know,
she's like, how do you know this? How do you know this guy? Is this an F3 guy or some other guy? You know, the other thing, just as I hear you talk, right, I feel like a lot of pastors, right, your role, like you have this really big role in sort of like shepherding your flock or your church. And so there's a lot of time you spend praying and pouring into the members of your congregation. Have you found a good way to, or maybe you don't need to, but just I'm thinking of like to separate that or maybe now do you also view maybe F3 part of your flock in terms of prayers and trying to shepherd or steward guys in their walk with God?
I certainly do in regard to, especially my family, right? I mean, I find myself a whole lot more open with F3 in regard to the concerns of my family than I do my church. Because again, right or wrong, this is how I feel. There's that fear of being judged. Okay, yeah. My son is not quiet, or my daughter is not quiet, or my wife and I are having this issue. That kind of just goes out the window at F3. There's just a vulnerability and an openness that I know it's a safe place. I'm not going to be judged. I know, you know, there is a little freedom, I think, that comes with that, that I've appreciated. You know, when I'm at F3, I don't feel like I'm living in that glass house per se, which is, I think, a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a good way to put it. And that's hopefully a sort of a benefit of F3 that a lot of guys are getting to experience. Cause I think that sometimes it's easy to hide behind our job or occupation, whatever that might be, but letting go of that really helps to get a little bit deeper. Other question kind of in this second F for fellowship is about that concentric model. And so just curious what your M or your was think of this whole F3 thing. What's been your experience there?
My family has been nothing but supportive, including my wife. She, in fact, if I'm just going one or two days a week, she's asking me what's going on. What's the problem? You need to get up and get out there. It's interesting because getting up in the morning used to be that she would get up because she works at a law firm, and she would go early in the morning. And before F3, I would just kind of sleep through and she would be gone when I wake up. And now we're getting up together. And we're having a little time together. And when I get home, she's still there and we kind of connect. And so it's actually increased our opportunity to connect in the mornings before she goes off to work. So I think, you know, again, my wife's comment was these gym memberships are your favorite charity. So she's just excited to see that, number one, I'm going consistently, and number two, it's free. So yeah, she likes that.
Yeah, definitely not a bad thing. And you remind me, you have kids, right?
Two adult children. My son's 31 and my daughter's 28.
Are either of them here in town? Or?
Yeah, both of them are, actually. Okay.
You get your son out to a workout? Or?
Not yet. Man, I'm working on it. Okay. He's been there in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but I haven't managed to get him out for a workout yet.
Okay.
I think, you know, he has a friend who is into rucking back out east. And when he's in town, I'm going to try to use that as a means of which to get his friend out and maybe get him out to a workout. So we'll see.
Yeah, we've got the ruckus, right? I mean, you know, no reason not to get out there for that. Yeah. It's funny, right? Like sometimes we get so into F3 and then we're like trying to share it with the people we love, you know, or the closest to us. And for whatever reason, they're just not. They're not biting. They're like the hardest to EH almost.
Right. I did manage to get my daughter's husband out.
Good. Okay.
His F3 name is Atari, and he, because he's big into gaming, but he came to one of my Quarry workouts. He's not a morning person, so I haven't been able to get him quite out again, but they're going to be moving closer in town because they live pretty far away. They just bought a house in town, so he's going to be just right down the street. So hopefully I can get him back out.
I have my oldest daughter's 9, and she's already asking about dating, which makes me a little bit nervous. But I keep telling her that in order for somebody to date her, they're going to have to come to an F3 workout and we're going to have a burpee challenge. And if they beat me, then they can date her, right? But no, I'm kidding. I have wondered that, though. I was talking to Slow Clap and his son-in-law, you know, his daughter and son-in-law just moved back to town. And so we're at coffee and it's like Slow Clap and his son-in-law. And that's a cool, like, dynamic, right? To be able to see, you know, it's just cool. Like, if you could know your son-in-law that way and be able to have a relationship would be really, really something special. But what, now, you know, the faith piece for you, I'm sure, is sort of like, you're like, yeah, I get that. I believe in a higher power. But I would be curious, and I think you kind of maybe mentioned this a little bit earlier, just the connection between F3 and like maybe your occupation. But I would love to hear sort of your story. Like, how did you become a pastor, or what was that sort of journey like?
Well, I was raised in church. My dad was a Baptist deacon, and you know, as early as I can remember, in Indianapolis, Indiana, I was going to church. And then I was set to go to Indiana University. The plan was to study criminal justice, and I'd always, as a kid, wanted to be a homicide detective. And my senior year of high school, I was at a camp in North Carolina called the Camp of the Wilds. I was just really impressed by the Spirit of God that if I go to Indiana University, I'm not going to do well, because I knew where my life was at that point. And, you know, being a party or going to a party school was not going to be a good combination. And so I decided to go to a Christian university. And when I was there, changed my major from criminology to my freshman year, changed it to pastoral ministries through a boys ministry where you have these kids who are at risk teens, and we were working with them and getting involved and as a mentor. And one of the directors challenged me, said, "Brian, rather than find these kids when they've thrown their life away and they've committed a murder, what if you decided to get involved in their life earlier?" And so in that context, I switched over to pastoral ministries and started preparing for pastoral ministry. Did youth ministry for, I guess, 10 years before I became a senior pastor, and have been involved in ministry now for 33 years.
Wow. That's super cool. So pastor's kid, and you like to party, huh? So the rebellious...
Yeah, well, he's a deacon. He wasn't quite the pastor.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So I had a little liberty there.
Right.
He only lived in a small glass house, not quite the big
one. Right. You know, it's so interesting just hearing, like, just the, you know, just these patterns, right? I would be curious, you know, as you think about other guys and just kind of your time, you know, whether it's men's ministry or even in F3, you know, how do we turn that? Because I love, like, when I hear your story, right? It's like you took this, I don't know if you call it necessarily pain, but you took this like area, you know, where you had clearly like a desire to help people, but you turned it into sort of your calling. And I know I struggle with that. Like, what is my calling or God's will for my life or purpose, right? How have you navigated that? Just maybe share some wisdom with us for guys that are longing for that, but maybe aren't feeling it.
Right. Well, I guess the first thing I would challenge you to consider is what is guiding you, right? What is your moral compass? What is your purpose? And once you rightly define that, allow that to then lead you day by day in fulfilling whatever that moral compass tells you that you're supposed to be accomplishing. For me, that's I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And as I look at his life and I see his life of compassion, selflessness, his sacrificial living, I seek to do that daily. I don't necessarily think that everything in my life has to be a pinpoint of God's will for me. I think I look at more of my faith as a large circle, that as long as I'm staying within that context of that large circle, God gives me some freedom to just live my life daily. And through that, one day at a time, he takes me where he wants me to be, to simply try to be the best person I could be in that moment, in that time. What's amazing is when you look back in your life and you begin to connect those dots and you see a greater purpose that God has used those daily commitments to bring you to where he wants to be. And I firmly believe that F3 has been really not just a little dot, but a huge dot and connection points. And I see ministry and I see opportunity. Really, I see F3 as a hub where I've had many opportunities as a result of that to connect with so many different people, and through those connection points, create more opportunities. And so really, I guess my understanding would be is every day I allow my moral compass, which is Christ, to guide me into accomplishing everything that he wants me to do for that day, realizing that obedience is guiding me into tomorrow.
I love it. Yeah, that's a really good point, right? The like starting point, like who are you looking to define that moral compass, and just starting there. I think it, you know, it's so interesting to me, right? Is you know, in the show, when we interview guys, right? A lot of times we hear the, you know, I grew up, I went to church, I went to college, I stopped going to church, and now my kids are getting older, and so we're getting back into church, but I think there's so much more if you think about the relationship you have with Jesus and not just, you know, getting to church on Sundays. Although, you know, and that's my faith perspective, not necessarily that of F3. But I would be curious, as you think about guys in that scenario and you know, maybe just from your perspective, what's the best way to try to like get back into a church, or what, or how do you guide people when they're sort of, I think now we call it church shopping, but I don't know that I really like that term. But anyway, I mean, if a guy's like, man, that's a part of my life, or it was at one point, and I want to get back into it, but I'm maybe nervous or just hesitant, what would you advise there?
I think the biggest thing I would say in that regard is that church isn't something you do. You just don't check it off as a box and say, okay, I did that. Being the church, for me, it's who I am. My freedom is not doing what I want to do, but my freedom is being what God has called me to be through Jesus Christ. And as I understand my responsibility to him and through Christ, it's not so much of me checking off a box of religiosity. It's about me just being faithful to the opportunity that God has given me in the relationships he's put in my life. And I guess the advice I would give is look around you and see where you can make an impact. You know, we always talk about being a high impact man. Well, a high impact man is someone who's doing good in his community where something needs to be done. So if you see a need, meet it, mm-hmm. right? Fulfill yeah. it. And as you do that, you're going to find that God, again, is directing you through those small steps of obedience. And so my direction would be is don't feel like you just got to go to a church and check that box. But know who you are and know why you're here. And once you understand that principle, look for the opportunities that I believe a providential God has placed in our life, and then begin to seize those opportunities. You know, we talk about coram Deo, you know, seize the day. Seize those opportunities. And what you'll find as you seize those opportunities, you'll find yourself slowly but surely becoming the man that you want to be, that God longs for you to be.
That's so cool. So there's no checklist of like how to rate the praise music or the sermon. I love your advice, because I think it's so, that's a really practical and pretty easy next step, right? Is, you know, I don't even have to get my family in the car early on a Sunday morning to do some of that initial discovery work, right? I love that as a, right. I think that's an awesome approach. We'll talk just a little bit about, we could talk faith all day, I'm sure, on the third F piece. And I just love hearing your perspectives on that stuff.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check them out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
I am curious. I want to get your thoughts on leadership, right? So we're trying to reinvigorate male community leadership, part of our mission. And you had a chance to launch a new site, right? A weight site in Gretna called The Quarry. Tell us a little bit about that experience. And then I would also love if you would just share sort of the meaning behind the name. I know you shared it at the Shovel Pass, but I think it would be cool for guys to hear your vision there.
Sure. So the idea behind the site as we started it was that we'd have another local Gretna site that would focus on a little bit different of a beatdown, specifically, you know, a dumbbell workout. And originally the focus was to involve a little broga into the process. And it's the broga part hasn't quite worked out the way I wanted it to, because not many guys know how to do yoga per se. But we have, by the way, we have Hard Hat on the queue this Friday. So tomorrow he's going to bring some broga to the game. The site name, The Quarry, came as a result of just our desire to create rock solid men, high impact men, to reinvigorate male community leadership. And so we want to try to challenge men with all three F's. And so when we're functioning at The Quarry, we try to make sure that we're hitting all three F's. And I challenge and encourage guys to hit all three F's. And so, because I think within that is a structure and a model for success. I think, you know, when we talk about the three F's, again, when we talk about, okay, what's the mojo of F3? And I think that fellowship in the middle, fitness, fellowship, and faith, is that relationship is the thing that connects the other two. It holds it together. And to create a site that allows guys to experience all three F's was certainly my goal, and is certainly what we're striving to do at The Quarry.
Yeah, I love that concept. And I hope a little bit, you know, our sites are all kind of doing that. You know, I do think, I appreciate there is an opportunity for fellowship during the workout, although I don't know that we always take advantage of it. But, you know, get next to a slow pitch or a tater during a workout, and you'll have plenty of laughs and fellowship there, depending on what you can get slow pitch to talk about. What any challenges or anything that you sort of came across that you feel like maybe you learned from and would want to share with some of the other site queues, just navigating, you know, what it is to be a site queue?
Yeah, I certainly think early on, I just thought I had such a great concept that this site is just going to blow up, and I'm not going to have to do anything to make it happen. And what I learned about halfway through, that you got to go out and connect with guys, and you got to create those relationships, and you have to be so bold as to even text them the night before and say, you know, we got a great workout lined up with Hard Hat or whoever, and love to have you come out and support the site. And in particular, I've tried to reach out to all the Gretna guys. I want the Gretna guys to take responsibility for our Gretna sites. I've tried to support all of our Gretna sites. And I think, but the thing is, I miss those other sites. That's the struggle, is, you know, I miss going out to the Armory. You know, it was good to go out to the Maze. It had been a while since I'd been out to the Maze. It was good to go out there this morning. I used to go to those sites quite a bit early on. But as Gretna has grown and we've seen that great growth, you know, you miss hitting those other places. But again, I think there is some identity in our Gretna location, and, you know, I want to support that a little bit. And so I will, you know, I've learned that texting those guys the night before has been a great help. And I've tried to encourage House Arrest to continue that as he's taken the flag for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Sometimes that nudge of a text is like a guy's sort of on the edge of like, I don't know, it might rain tomorrow. I'll play it by ear, right? But then they get a text, and now you've started to sort of like nudge them to commit a little bit more, and then they commit, right? And then they're going to meet you. They're going to meet you there, right? It's not like I'm just showing up to a workout. It's I'm meeting Vlasic there, right? It's kind of an interesting, I don't know, the psychology of all that, but. What, you know, as you were looking at succession planning, and I loved what you shared at the Shovel Pass, but talk to us about House Arrest and just kind of how you'd landed on giving him the flag.
Well, I mean, it was, I would say, first of all, that was as much of his story, it was mine. So I'm kind of telling his story as I tell my story. And that is, you know, he was in a season of his life searching and longing for something and needing a brotherhood and needing, you know, just literally the night before talking about and him having a conversation with his wife and her saying, you need this. And he was just literally the next morning walking his dog. And, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm not afraid to open my mouth because I do it for a living. And so if I ever see someone walking by or, you know, walking their dog or something, I always scream out F3Omaha.com. And that particular day, I called out to him and challenged him and encouraged him. And he came over and said a few words and then just showed up the next week and has accelerated. House arrest has accelerated since then as he was going through some challenging things in his life. And I think, you know, as I think about all that he has found in F3 has brought him the support and the foundation that he has needed to walk these hard steps that he's taken and in his own life and to support his wife if she's going through her own journey. So, you know, to be able to then EH him in such a, you know, I look at it as random, but God had purpose in it. And then to be able to then start a site and then to pass that flag to someone that I've grown to love and appreciate and encourage has been really a privilege to do that. It makes that passing of the flag even more personal to know that, okay, this is a guy that God used me to EH and to shape and to give his life direction. And now what he's doing is he's leading me, which is beautiful and amazing if you think about it. You know, often within the church, we talk about replacing ourselves and discipling. Well, there it is in motion right here in the F3 model. You know, you EH a guy, you see him grow, and then you pass him a flag that you planted. That's incredible.
That's super cool. Yeah. Yeah. And I just love, it reminds me of like when I was in NA and you would see a new guy come in, right? And they get, you know, there's first, it's like, I got one day clean, right? And then all of a sudden they got 30 days and you just sort of see the life come back into them. And I see that same thing in F3, and you just see a guy who was really down and out, right? Life had just beat him up, and you see the glow and the smile. And like, I see that in house arrest is just really cool. And then you hear him encouraging other guys that are where he was. I mean, it's just like this cycle that, yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. What, you know, I know, you know, obviously the leadership piece is important, but anything else that maybe we didn't get to cover, anything else sort of on your heart, on your mind that you would want guys to know about you, your story, or just any, maybe advice for being a man trying to figure this life thing out.
Right. I think the biggest thing that we haven't talked about that I think is an important part of F3 that I have experienced is there's been days that I'm hurting and I just don't feel like being there. But when you just show up, and to be honest with you, it's kind of like church a little bit. There's a lot of times that maybe you don't feel like going to church, or maybe you're not feeling it that day, and yet you go, and yet you think about what you would have missed had you not just shown up. And I have found that to be very true in F3, you know, not really mentally motivated or physically motivated to show up. And yet I show up because of my commitment to another person, or I was invited to come to this queue because this person is queuing. And I go for all the wrong reasons, which in your mind are the wrong reasons, but they are actually the right reasons because you went to give of yourself to someone else. And then, but the ironic thing about that is that you're the benefactor of that. How blessed you are and how encouraged you are and how much you benefit from doing something that you weren't going to do, but you did it anyway. And there's just, so I guess the biggest thing I would say is just keep showing up. You certainly are not going to make any gains if you don't show up. And you're certainly going to miss out on a lot if you don't.
Yeah, I would have to say in the years I've been doing F3, I've never shown up to a workout and went home thinking like, well, that was a waste of time, or that, you know, like every time. And normally it's the opposite. It's sort of like, wow, I wasn't expecting like this to happen, or this guy to open up, or, you know, the COT to be exactly what I needed to hear in the moment I needed to hear it. You know, it's, you definitely see SkyQ working through those moments. But well, this has been awesome, and I know we're maybe cutting it a little bit short just with timing here, but I do want guys to know, I think I've Blastic's an open book, right? I would say the fact that he's a pastor shy you away from asking him questions, whether it be a tough question about faith or just a simple question about the best, you know, best place to play pickleball in Gretna, right? I would say just whatever it is, I get to know this guy because he's definitely open and desires to make an impact on the guys he's around. So I appreciate you, brother. I will, let's do a little name-a-rama.
Yeah.
All right. I'll start us off here. Brandon Fleehardy, 39, The Plague.
And I am Brian Clark, 55, Vlasic.
Vlasic, respect. And what, do we have a call sign yet? Is there, I guess, I don't know what sound, pickleball, what would that be?
You know, I always wanted it, but I could get never, no one to kind of go with it. The Vlasic kind of snap, right?
Yeah.
The Vlasic like pickle the, snaps.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to, maybe you could get that going.
Wait, let's try it. All right. If guys are, yeah, guys are listening, let's do Oh Snap. It's the, cause it's like a stork or something, right? On their commercials that does the,
right, right.
Yeah. It's awesome. I love it. Well, I appreciate you, man. This has been great. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. It's been great to talk.